Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel it working? Michael and Lou and James, are you guys all there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I feel it. Bad touch, bad touch.
Yeah.
So, this is a reminder that Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Find out more at BIPCOT.org.
So, Davi, you put a BIPCOT sticker on your driver's license on the organ donor part. What does that mean?
Yeah, that means that I am donating my organs to anyone except governments.
Mm. Davi liver smoothies. Mm.
I'm coming for your spleen, Davi.
I'll take a look.
You know, that's the wonderful thing about the BIPCOT organ donor program is that it's not limited to medicine. My organs can go to whatever the market will demand.
You know what's a lot creepier than undressing a woman with her eyes? With your eyes? Is harvesting your friend's organs with your eyes. That's what I'm doing with you guys.
Pancreatic.
Yeah, juice. Well, you know, I don't drink and I don't smoke and
liver
okay,
pate.
So we have friends. Let's see. Stephanie Murphy has a PhD in biochemistry or something, and Taryn Lupo is a chiropractor. So between them, they're practically a surgeon.
Close enough.
Yeah.
A PhD close in enough. PhD in, botany. And so
don't forget Kevin McKernan.
Yeah, Kevin McKernan's got the DNA, science down.
Lou or Davi, you said you have a lot of sharp knives, right?
I have knives around, yeah. Mark Edge slaughters pigs. That's half the process.
There you go. So we'll just have a libertarian organ transplant tent in the next podcast.
You know what I should do is I should...
Unlicensed organ harvesting right there at Pork Fest.
I should take out a poll, right? Like, I should let people sort of, subscribe to the organs I can live without, and then the first person who need one wins.
No, we'll just have the game Operation, but for real. Davi's nose will light up. So, speaking of Mark Edge, I was watching this video today. It's at freekeen.com if you want to check it out. So, Mark Edge and Ian and Daryl Perry and a few other people are trying to make... they've made Ian's house and the Keen Activity Center into a church, and they're trying to get tax-free status with their state. So they, applied for it and got turned down, and, then they appealed the thing. And basically, they sent the anarchist in to argue with the four blue-haired statist ladies to say, please let us not pay taxes on liberty. And it went about as how you think it would go. I had to give Mark kudos. First of all, when you're running a church, and a lot of the comments on it were so they sent the murderer to represent the church. Mark did 9.5 years in prison at some point for murder. He didn't necessarily murder somebody, but
hey, their church believes in redemption.
That's what I would say, man. I think the worse off you were, the more you're, if you're telling your story at an AA meeting or in a church, the worse off you were. I once was blind and now I see that I shouldn't murder people. So, but here's the thing, they just turned him down. And I did like that they tried to cut him off. And he's like, I have 2.5 pages to read. If you want to stop me, call the law. Otherwise, I'm reading this. I thought that was pretty cool. So reads it. And then they just have a vote and, 4-1, no, you can't have your tax deduction. So, but I was thinking, wouldn't it be more interesting if he brought libertarian ISIS with him? If he just...
There you go. Yeah.
Came in with, 9 dudes with swords and AK-47s who were willing to die for their cause.
Well, if they called it the Shire Free Mosque instead of the Shire Free Church, at least there'd be more political pressure on the city to approve it.
Yeah.
Oh, or they'd be scared.
Or if it was a gay church, because
or gay mosque, it'd be the first in America, maybe the world.
The first gay mosque to ever be banned by a city council. Boom.
Wow. Well, I guess no, that's not true, because Imam Dai has a gay mosque. I don't remember where it is, or he's a gay imam anyway, and he welcomes gay people there. But
I take it it's not in Saudi Arabia.
No, it's not in Saudi Arabia. It's in Detroit or someplace.
Dearborn, Michigan, probably.
No, I don't think he would do well there either. Maybe it's Philadelphia. I'm not sure.
The city of brotherly love.
Yeah.
Yeah. we can make gay and Muslim jokes because we have a gay and a Muslim co-host. So that gives us the right.
But that's two different people.
Well, when you word it there, you got to put your commas in the right place.
A gay and Muslim. We got both kinds of music, country and Western. So, Davi, you posted a picture of Muhammad today. Did you draw it?
Yeah, I drew it myself. And
you finally did it because you've been not drawing Muhammad for years.
Well, you know, it's still up in the air whether or not Anarcho is Muhammad. But
oh, wait, is he wearing Muhammad a mask? Is he with Anarcho?
No. This is Muhammad. There's this famous story in Islamic history where, like, Muhammad wanders off into the desert by himself and, like, has a meeting with the jinn, which is, like, the spirits. And nobody knows what was said in this meeting, right? And so I just wanted to illustrate that meeting.
It was the Bavarian cult. It's like the libertarian Bavarian cults that we have. Like, people
yeah, it's the original
this,
Bavarian gulch.
members of this podcast.
Or it's the Arabian gulch.
Yeah, because this podcast, it's like it's not just a radio show podcast. Like, this is a kind of like a gang. It's kind of like a cult. It's kind of like it's actually the libertarian state. We used to be called Libertarian ISIS. Now we're called LS, Libertarian State. Mm. Although I said that, I hear like five anarchists.
It was, you know, it's hard enough to accept the Free State Project. Okay,
I know.
You mean the free-ish? Because
okay,
you can't,
so it's not the Libertarian State.
It's, free-ish state.
What's the word for the? It's the Libertarian Worldwide Jihad. No, what is it? I don't know. What are we going to call it?
Caliphate? Yes. Is it the Libertarian Caliphate?
I don't know. What's the definition of that word if you're not talking to a Tea Partier?
A caliphate, the word literally means a steward. A caliph is a person who is a steward or a vice regent of an absent owner or ruler. So that's all that means. But yeah,
caretaker.
It means caretaker. Sure.
How about docent? I like the word docent because docent means, it literally means like someone who's allowed to teach, but it's also used for like the people at a museum that like lead the tours or the White House. You know, like the people that lead it is a docent. So the libertarian, well, that'd be us. We are libertarian docents. So
how about a libertarian Reich?
I like that. I also like
there you
word,
go.
Yeah, that'll go. That'll play great on alternet.
Yeah.
Michael.
Yeah, Lou.
Michael, will you be our Führer?
No, but I'll be your libertarian pope. And
how about our
a Wahhabi? I think our libertarian Wahhabi is
I
what we need.
I'll be the leader for a while for the first shift because I think that since I can't travel, it's better to have a leader who's mysterious and never actually appears in public because then you can assign any criteria to him you want. You know,
hey, but we need to get you a pope.
Work for Ross Ulbricht, right? You know,
Big Little Brother.
Yeah. See, I would have, here's my thing about Ross Ulbricht. First of all, I never would have done what he did, but I champion what he did. I would have gotten away with it. Here's why. Okay. Like, they came into, and I know
you don't go to libraries.
I used to hang out at that library, but but they came into the library pointing, you know, assault weapons at his face so he wouldn't hit the three key commands that all hackers supposedly have to delete everything on their hard drive. And he just froze. I would have just looked at him and just hit the three keys, you know?
Well, my understanding was there was a distraction. There was a distraction created that like actually made him like look away from his computer and they snatched it. So,
yeah. What,
nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition at the library, you know?
So whose headphones are echoing?
I don't hear an echo.
Or is it just the acid that we all take before each show?
That must be it.
I'm kidding.
Could be mine.
So yeah, man, Libertarian ISIS. We need a better name for it than Libertarian ISIS or Libertarian State, but I just want to joke about it until we're contacted by the government. I want to see how far we can take this joke.
Well, the real success would be if we were infiltrated by the government.
Yeah,
like if they wanted to send a member into Libertarian ISIS
it's
to
hard,
rabble
man,
rouse.
Because nobody can, you don't volunteer for the fiends, you get picked, you know?
That's
and
true.
And you don't walk out of the fiends, you get carried out of the fiends, man.
It'd be nice if we could somehow get them to try to, like, give us a bunch of weapons and explosives as part of a sting operation, but then we just, like, run off with them all.
Or just sell them, or just never, I'm going to say, to that one.
Or turn them, or turn them into the FBI.
There you go. That's there are mosques that have done
right?
that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the FBI goes in and the mosque says, hey, this guy is advocating violence. And the FBI says, yeah, we know. He's our guy.
In fact, they didn't even have to look it up because it's always that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always theirs.
I wonder if FBI gets credit for catching themselves all the time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, they must include it in their statistics.
Yeah, do they pad their stats with it?
That's what all their statistics are. They've never stopped any. They rarely stop anything real.
When was the last time they caught somebody that they didn't actually manufacture as a villain? I don't recall ever.
Yeah, Ross Ulbricht. But he's not.
And they kind of manufactured him in a way because he had to exist because they exist.
Yeah.
Without them, without them, you wouldn't need Silk Road. It would be called Walmart, you know?
Don't you see? Without Batman, Joker couldn't exist.
Wow.
Yeah. Or is it the other way around? Did Joker create Batman or did Batman create Joker? I can never keep it straight.
We've pondered the same thing with Michael W. Dean and that other libertarian personality who we will not name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I didn't have anything to do with creating him, but Cantwell, if the government didn't create Cantwell, if Cantwell didn't exist, the government would have had to create him. That's what I said.
Right. And if Michael W. Dean didn't exist, Chris Cantwell would have to create him.
I think so. Yep. Yeah, and Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. You know, I have a theory about, like, I think that the Republicans and the Democrats are both putting up, like, the looniest people they can. Okay, Barry Sanders for the Democrats, and then Rand Paul
Sanders
for the Republicans.
Barry Sanders was a running back for the Detroit Lions.
Bernie Sanders. Okay. Yeah. So I think they're putting up Bernie Sanders and Rand Paul to just put them out to say the nuttiest things they can to see what the audience reaction is, to gauge it for Hillary and, I don't know.
You think Rand Paul is nuttier than Donald Trump? Donald Trump's pretty nutty.
It's going to be Trump. Although Trump is, like, no friend of liberty, man.
The whole process is just a big trolling operation. It's a giant prank.
I don't know.
It's a social experiment.
I'm going to go watch prank shows. You have a good show, you guys. Be back in Worms. The market. Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Freedom Fiends, oh yeah. Hey, so if you don't like statism, why don't you just pack your bags and go to the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, which will be this weekend. Yeah, I'm going to do a little shameless self-promotion here.
Do it.
Yeah, so this weekend, August 7th through the 10th, we have the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, which is sponsored by the Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition and Possum, the other white meat. And, it's going to be a pretty good time. It starts Friday morning and Monday morning sometime. And there's going to be a lot of neat people out there. From what I understand, Adam Kokesh is confirmed to be a speaker on Sunday. You could do yoga with Stephanie Murphy at her class. You can meet some fiends like Randy England, Diana, and Christian. And, I'll be there too. And what else? Oh, yeah, Will Coley will probably be there cooking up different types of grub. And hopefully he has that duck egg stew that he made last year. Oh, my God, that stuff was awesome. So, Jim, are you going to jump into the Badmobile and bring the family on out or what?
You know, I'd really love that. That sounds totally awesome. But I'm going to be here in Maine still. In fact, right now I'm broadcasting from Southwest Harbor, Maine.
And are you outside of a library again?
No, I've homesteaded a Wi-Fi, and I've used it to hack into the Bass Harbor Lighthouse, and I'm actually I have, with Derek Slopey's help, I've bypassed the Homeland Security protocols, and I've reprogrammed the lighthouse to flash my signal in binary code out to ships at sea. So that's how I'm connecting right now.
Okay, cool. Well, you know, if you jump in the Batmobile like right after this show, you could probably be out here in time for Liberty Fest.
This weekend, right?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe meet up with Stephanie and carpool with her. Hmm. I don't know how she's getting here, but... So...
Next year. Next year, maybe I'll do that. How many years has the festival been going on now? It's like at least 3 years or more?
Well, this is the third annual, so I think we've been doing it for like 5 years.
Nice.
Something like that. So, yeah, and it's gonna be a good time. If you're in, for any of you that are in the area, in the Midwest region, come on out. Go to miplc.org. That's Mike, India, Papa, Lima, Charlie.org. And register yourselves and your family. And I don't know if you can still pay on there. You may have to pay at the gate, but get registered. Come on out, and it's going to be a good time. So, I'm not sure how many people are actually registered this year, but there's going to be, from what I've seen, there's a lot of cool people coming out that I look forward to meeting, as well as the folks that have been out to the previous two. We will have a gal from west side of the state. She's involved with FIJA, the jury nullification, and she will be doing, she'll be passing out free food on Friday as a Welcome to Liberty Fest thing.
Sounds awesome.
Groovy.
Yeah. Yeah, you might know her, Oshawa?
Nope.
She came on the show last year, so I don't know if you heard it. But anyway, yeah, it's going to be a good time. Get on out there, and yeah, just get on out there.
Is there a website or something you want to send people to?
Yeah, miplc.org.
Cool.
And people could get registered on there, and yeah. And I think they're still taking payment via Bitcoin, and there is an alternative currency discount. I think ticket prices at the door are going to be $65 for adults. That's $65 for the camping, the event, the activities. So only thing else that you have to bring is groceries, and there's going to be plenty of people serving and selling food out there.
So awesome.
Go to miplc.org and get registered.
I just got back from the Jackalope Freedom Festival. Have you guys heard of that one?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
That's Arizona, right?
Yeah, Northern Arizona. It's pretty cool. It's about as unconventional as you can get. They just set up in the middle of a national forest where there is no designated camping, and they have no permits or anything, and they just do it. And it's 200 people. No running water, no electricity, although enough people bring solar panels that there's ubiquitous electricity, and somebody brings porta potties, so there's at least that.
So it's kind of like Roger's campground?
It's Roger's campground with no Roger. So there's no... Because Roger's campground has designated sites, right? And it has water hookup and electrical and that little shop. None of that is there. This is open wilderness, and it was like 200 Sweet. People.
All right, more free of
I will tell you more about the
market.
Worms!
And I'm out of here, folks. See you at the Liberty Fest.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Squizzcar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And, I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Too busy talking to do talk radio. This is the Freedom Fiends. What were we talking about? I don't even remember what we were doing before the break.
Jackalope. You're telling us you had been to Jackalope, and it's this this amazing festival where sort of nobody's in charge, and it's everything that's great about Rogers Campground except Rogers Campground. So
it's like Porkfest circa 2005, right? Like circa means around. Circa is a weird word. Anyway. It was like 200 people, and there were like a couple of vendors and a lot of food vendors, but like mostly it was just like open camping and like people driving around on ATVs and shooting bullets into the woods and stuff like that.
Any visit from revenue agents or anything like that?
So yeah, two years ago, the Forest Department like rolled up in like full SWAT gear and rifles or whatever their sort of standard SWAT raid gear is, and sort of poked around asking who's in charge, and they were smart enough to like, nobody's in charge. I don't know what's going on here. I'm just out here camping, because individuals can camp, but groups can't camp.
Right.
So it's just very important. Everybody has the same message that everybody's just an individual camping.
It'd be really funny if everybody had like a 3x5 card in their wallet that they pull out with the statement, and it's
yeah. So I guess the joke is Jack's in charge, but I don't know Jack, right?
You know Jack, a lope, yeah.
That 1 year, they sort of all sort of came out and gave their show force and didn't get what they wanted, and they haven't been back ever since. And they're in their fourth year now, so that's pretty good. And it's just a good time all around. I stayed in a lodge kind of up the road a little bit. I didn't actually camp. And then on the way back, I went to Arcosanti. Have you ever heard of Arcosanti?
You know, I think I've heard of it, but tell me about it.
So it's this guy, Paolo Soleri, who's this like Italian architect. In the 70s, he has this idea to create what he calls an arcology, which is a combination of like environmentalism and architecture. And it's like high density, high foliage, urban environments. He's trying to do away with the car by creating high density, intentional cities, right? And so he started building this one called Arcosanti in Arizona in the 70s. But of course, the problem with it is, like, even though his vision is to have a market in the thing eventually, his business model is socialist in nature, and so it's like people go out there and they sort of like volunteer to work in a sort of weird apprenticeship program, and they like try to raise money using their bronze foundry to like make bells, and they've been making the same bells since the 70s, and so
they have responded to market demand for more cowbell.
Well, yeah, but there's there's apparently not much market demand for cowbell.
Now that's the problem. That's the problem with America today. Not enough cowbell.
So even though there are places in the design allocated for markets, the only thing that exists is a sort of free give or take thrift store thing. And even though it's designed ultimately to house 5,000 people, only 60 people live there right now. And most of them are either working in the foundry and selling bells or giving tours or maybe growing vegetables or something, or there's a cafe on site. So it's like, it's funny that like his intention was high density housing, and it's about the like least dense town in Arizona. But
socialist models always get the numbers wrong, right? There's never any way to plan that out correctly for those people.
Well, you know, it's kind of also a proof, you know, the Dunbar number. Are you familiar with this concept?
No.
It's a It's about 93 people, I think, and it's the idea, it's a psychological concept that you can have, your brain is capable of managing around 93 relationships as acquaintances. And once you get larger than that, so essentially like a commune or a socialism can kind of work if you're lower than the Dunbar number, because everybody's working with social capital because they all kind of know each other. But you can't get bigger than that without a market or a currency or some way of measuring value to society without socially knowing the person. I think it's a kind of interesting proof to me that they built this facility for 5,000 people and they can never seem to get it larger than 100 people, and it's about the Dunbar number where they get capped. It's like, well, that's because you guys need a currency.
Not currency. That money is the root of all evil. Oh no. Yeah.
So it's a adorable. Cool place. It's very beautiful. There's these like big domes, and there's lots of sort of natural like fig trees and olive trees. Like they try to grow plants you can eat, and it's a cool thing. But doomed to fail until they embrace commerce.
Still sounds pretty cool though, just to check it out and just to see see people trying things. I like to see people trying stuff, even if it's not quite what as successful as what they had planned on.
Yeah. It's funny. I have like a capitalist brain, right? So I go into any place like that and I say, where is the unmet demand and where is the surplus supply, right? Because those are the two things that I'm trying to marry to each other. And so anytime I go anywhere that's like a socialist experiment, whether it's like an anarchist collective in San Francisco or Arcosanti or Burning Man or anything,
or Massachusetts.
I just see like Massachusetts or California. I just see like, here's a group of people destroying mass amounts of wealth. Like, let me see if I can put their labor and capital to productive use, right? Because that's just the way my brain works, right? So I'm like, okay, that's great. You guys have architecture students come in every once in a while and like pay for a course in Bronze Foundry, but you have all this empty residential space. Like, why aren't you like opening this up to just like random boarders that want to move in and live in a beautiful building? And they don't, but whatever.
So to live there, you'd have to be like part of the commune? Is that, you can't just like buy a unit?
I don't know, because I wasn't like fishing around to like rent a spot. But what the tour guy said was, everyone who lives here works here, and everyone who works here lives here. Which to me sounded like...
Sounds like a gulag.
From each according to their means, to each according to their need, right?
Or also, it's kind of like a concentration camp,
Yeah.
With tours, and I guess presumably they can always leave, right? Or is this like, or do they, or is there nobody
leaves? Yeah, they're free to leave. But it is funny, like his intention is concentration. He is trying to like make an intentional community that will facilitate dense residential living, kind of like the Zeitgeist movement. It's actually a lot like the Zeitgeist movement. It's just a different kind of a design, but it's concentration. It is a concentration camp. You're absolutely right. It just happens to have better feng shui than Auschwitz.
Auschwitz jokes. Not going to go there.
Well, I could have said Japanese concentration camps. I don't remember the name of it, though. What is it? Manzanar? I could have said Manzanar. Why don't Americans know the name Manzanar? Do you know what Manzanar is?
Is that one of the concentration camps for the Japanese?
Yeah, it was one of the I think it's one of the largest of American Japanese concentration camps.
Interesting.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Although they called it something else, like an incarceration camp or something, or internment. It's an internment camp. We're not concentrating you. We're interning you.
Isn't that what you do to like a body, though? Aren't they like interned?
That's a good question. Hang on, I'm gonna look this one up. That deserves a googling.
Yeah, I just pulled this up.
No, what does internment mean? Internment means imprisonment, confinement of people, commonly in large groups without a trial. Yeah,
There's a national historic site there now, and I'm looking
can visit it.
Yeah, it's now part of the Park Service.
Yeah, isn't that great?
So I'm just reading this Park Service page. 110,000 men, women, and children were forced to leave their homes and live in this camp.
Wow. And they lost their homes, for the record. Like, many of them owned their homes and never got it back. They were, like, essentially eminent domained and then whisked off to these camps. Can you imagine if, like, Germany was running, like, a national historic park at Auschwitz? Like, I guess it's a slightly different crime, but it's still pretty nasty.
Yeah. That, extremely nasty. And wasn't, you know, George Takei, his parents, or he was there. His family was in one of these camps.
Yeah.
And he came out afterwards, and, you know, now today he's like, he's a, you know, he's really a big government supporter of these people, you know, the that thing, did that to his family.
The thing that America did that Germany didn't do was they had a loyalty test. Like, they essentially, like, got, like, a Pledge of Allegiance or some sort of binding contract that was worded like the Pledge of Allegiance, and every prisoner was obligated to sign it or stay there.
What would you say to escape the your concentration camp?
I don't know. I guess maybe sign it under duress. Sign it. What is it? Threat, duress, coercion, pull a sovereign citizen maneuver on them. Whatever. I don't know.
You just say whatever you need to say to escape, and then you laugh about it later. You know, like, I mean, it's not like anything you say is going to be, you know, legitimate or like, oh, he, look what he said. No, that's just what you say to, you know, to avoid,
you know, that's an interesting question, and this is much more practical. So people philosophize a lot about, like, when is violence an appropriate response to the state, and that's all totally hypothetical. Like, nobody's advocating this as something to actually do, right? But something that I actually deal with on, like, on not a day-to-day basis, but at least on a maybe monthly basis, is how often is it okay, and in what circumstances is it okay to lie to the highwaymen, right? Like,
always.
You would think there would be, like, if you take the stance, and I do, that there is a virtue to honesty, and it's wrong to lie in the abstract. It's okay to lie in circumstances where you're under duress, or you're protecting someone, or you're protecting your own wealth or property or whatever. So does that mean that it is always okay to lie to a government official under any circumstances, morally
Absolutely.
Speaking? I realize legally speaking. So, like, this comes up to me, for question. Me at the post office. For me, this comes up at the post office because they, like, have different rates depending on what you're shipping. Like, they have a media mail shipping rate that's like half the standard rate.
So right, and like, they ask if you're, they, you know, they ask these questions like, are you shipping explosives?
Does it have a battery in it? Like, they seriously ask you if it has batteries, and like, what you can't ship a battery through the mail? Like, every toy on Amazon has batteries.
But, you know, yeah, you know, it's bad enough they don't want me to ship explosives, but batteries? Come on.
Yeah. I take the artist's interpretation of the media mail, and that's, I believe in mixed media, which means anything can be a form of mixed media, and therefore anything should be shipped media mail.
Absolutely.
We'll have more after this. Worms.
Use the American Mail Letter Company.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends, where our goal is to provide a sanitary and comfortable relief experience from the state. I'm here with Davi Barker. I'm James Babb. Davi, you're in San Francisco, correct?
Bay Area, yeah. Not in San Francisco proper, but a suburb known as Sunnyvale.
All right. And I'm beaming out via Fiend phone, connected to the Bass Harbor Lighthouse from Southwest Harbor, Maine. So we are did over the fiend tubes via fiend phone. So
worms.
Anyway, Yeah, it's great that we can have this kind of communication across the world, if necessary. So, what were we talking about, Davi?
We were talking about Jack Lope and Art Cassanti and the Pony Express, and you were saying something about Lysander Spooner got quotes in the mail or quotes in the paper or something.
Yeah, well, a friend of mine from Philly area, Steve Piotrowski, decided to do it's kind of a traditional protest where you pay your property taxes in pennies. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not the first one to think of doing this, but he made a good show of it, and he generated quite a few media hits from the Philadelphia Inquirer to Forbes magazine, and he worked into it a quote from Spooner. He said, "If taxation without consent is not robbery, then any band of robbers have only to declare themselves a government, and all their robberies are legalized." So he used this platform to interject some devious messages out there. So kudos to Steve Piotrowski for doing that. Of course, the all the pro-tax people, you know, tried to make fun of him for it, but he really got a lot of great traction and handled it well. It sort of reminds me of what another Philly area libertarian did, Rob Fernandez, and this is maybe 2 years ago. He paid his property tax in $1 bills and made a video. And the bill was, I think it was over $7,000 in property tax. So he's, you know, giving him these stacks of ones, and he made a video. The video went viral, was picked up by, like, mainstream media and UK newspapers, and it was monetized. He ended up making more than twice the amount of the property tax bill by YouTube views.
Oh, wild.
Yeah. So everybody do this.
Yeah.
Go out there, make a scene about paying your extortion money, and you might get lucky. So who knows?
That could work
even
with
one
any
of the
crime.
Articles. Yeah, yeah, for any crime.
If you could commit a crime publicly enough and popularly enough that people would watch it, it could pay for
monetize it. Right, and that could just cover your fines or your bail or pay your bills while you're in prison. Or
my mind is blown.
It's a whole new strategy for dealing with extortion.
Yeah.
So, in fact, that video of Rob Fernandez was made by Derek J. So, you know, it's a small world. So Derek J. definitely had a hand in that success.
I wonder what other things you could do to capitalize on activism somehow. I don't know.
Well, you know, when you're monetizing stuff on YouTube, that you're there's certain crimes that you're probably not going to get away with. You know, prostitution. I don't know.
I'm not sure that you could do prostitution on YouTube, but there are probably pay sites where you could post videos like that.
I think the market's saturated there. I'd look for something else. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. There was an activist that told me about this idea for something they wanted to do, and I really want to see it done. And it was it takes two activists, one holding a camera and one dressed as a donut. And the person dressed as a donut runs up to a cop, steals his hat, and bolts. And so then you get a video of a cop chasing a donut. I bet that would go viral on YouTube.
Yeah, definitely would. But the beating would be a tough penalty.
Well, you got to pick a fat cop to make sure the donut can get away.
Worms.
And you know, if you drop the hat, he might stop too. Worms.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Radio show, and one of us should probably do the intro, but I don't know where it is, so we are broadcasting live from right here, right now, to where you are, sitting there in your basement with your neck beard. How's it going, James Babb? This is Dobby Barker.
It's going great.
So how did we were talking during the break, well, we talked last hour about a video that I want to see of somebody in a donut costume sort of pranking a fat police officer by grabbing his hat and running with it so that another activist can get the video of the fat cop chasing the giant donut. But
yeah,
it's a risky video to get, but if you have an account on YouTube that's monetizable, you that might just be worth the risk to you, you know, like that's definitely
I could see that going into the, you know, over 1 million views.
Yeah. So then the question is, like, rather than, like, you know, risking my own neck, which I'm generally against, how do we get pranking police officers to be the next planking fad? Right? Like, how do you get it to be you called it the national pastime for, like, teenage kids to find ways to goof around with cops? And so I guess this is a hashtag. Is that what you kids call it these days? I want to start the hashtag prank you for your service.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. And you know, and what we could suggest is that for our listeners out there, do pranks on cops. Send us the videos. We'll monetize it, right? And so you don't have to worry about that.
Don't worry about the money. We'll take care of that.
We'll upload the videos to our YouTube channels, monetize the heck out of it, and needless to say that this will be worth it to us. So, I mean, really,
maybe this is a contest. Maybe there should be a prize.
What if I put it to you this way, Davi? How much would you have to get paid for a little stick time with some, like, California's finest?
Oh, man. I live near Oakland. They have some pretty aggressive stick time. But I live.
You may die. Okay, you got to keep that in mind. You may die. Okay, so.
I don't know.
I think you might want to wait until we have firmly established our unlicensed organ donor service at Porkfest next year, because I could definitely see you needing a spleen after that one.
Yeah. Plus, then you have a tort. If the officers, like, beat me so bad that the organ is damaged, then the owner of the organ has a claim against them, right? That's how that works.
Yeah. If I could take out, like, a what do they call it in real estate when you pay for the option to buy something later? Yeah.
Organ options.
Yeah.
That's what I need. I need people to take out options on my organs. But, you know, I don't want to centrally plan this thing too much. I just think, you know, any prank you want, I just think that
hashtag that it should be prank you for your service. Yeah.
And I guess that means it could go for soldiers, like, oh, man, military recruiters at high schools. Those guys are definitely
going to
be pranked for their service.
Even mailmen. I think your mailman would be fair game for that, too. When should you prank the mailman, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like an exploding glitter bomb in a mailbox. Maybe we shouldn't include explosives in this discussion.
Could be a special tactic of libertarian ISIS, exploding mailboxes with glitter. Yeah. With glitter.
Yeah. So that what is his name? It's the Vermin Supreme approach, right? It's making the mailman gay. Yeah. Have you seen this? Vermin Supreme makes his opponents gay by glitter bombing them at debates.
He is by far my favorite political candidate of all time. I'm a big fan there. Huge fan. And in fact, he's going to be my favorite candidate not to vote for this cycle.
Of all the people I'm not voting for, I am not voting for favorite. Him the hardest. Yeah, you know, I saw a graphic today that was like, it was stacks of people, like a bar graph, and it was like the people who voted for Bush, the people who voted for Obama, the people who voted for Palin, whatever. I don't even know what names were running, but this was the 2000, must have been 12 election. And the largest graph was the people who didn't vote. And there was this like arrow pointing at them, like these people think they can't make a difference. And the thing
it was
is,
big.
It was the majority. That was sort of the point of the graph, was the majority of people abstained from voting for one reason or another. But the thing that gets me about it is that a lot of those people, it's not that they don't think that a vote is powerful and can sway an election and therefore make a difference. It's that they don't think that they don't think either person winning the election will make a difference. So even if they all voted, still one of the candidates wins, right?
Right.
So I guess it's you can't clump all non-voters together. People non-vote for different reasons. And sometimes it's apathy, and sometimes it's philosophy, and sometimes it's because they don't feel the individual can make a difference, and sometimes they just don't think an election can make a difference. And
sometimes they're busy,
projects.
But you know what? We can all come together, and no matter what our backgrounds, no matter what our motivations, we can all come together and not vote. Like this is the most unifying thing that we can all not do together.
You know, I had an idea. Actually, I don't remember if this is my idea or not, but I encountered an idea that I think should be more common. And that is, rather than spending your time voting, just find someone who would vote the other way. And then rather than both of you voting, since you're going to cancel out your votes anyway, go and have coffee. It would have the same net effect on the election.
True, but, you know, I mean, which is zero. It's still zero, no matter which... It's like, you could come up with 100 ideas to have zero effect on the election.
It's Trump versus Bernie, right? Like, let's say the like grand election at the end of the railroad is Trump versus Bernie, and you're a Bernie man and I'm a Trump man, and we really think this is important. Like, we're of this crowd that really thinks this is important. Well, you're going to vote for Bernie and I'm going to vote for Trump, and those are just going to cancel each other out. So at least the two of us know that if we both agree not to vote, we have the same net effect, which frees up our time.
Work. The reason it won't work is if you're a Bernie fan or a Trump fan, you can't be trusted. They will still go out and vote anyway after making this deal. Okay, how do you verify that? Right? Like,
well, we need to BIPCOT non-voting. We need to give them. No, wait. It's not a BIPCOT license. It's a BIPCOT certification.
Well, what I wanted to do is set up a table at the voting booth and pay people $5 to just turn around and go back, okay? Like, and use indelible ink so they can't come back and get another $5 later. Like, okay, you here's your $5, please go away. And
is indelible ink like the okay?
It's what they use. It's like ink that doesn't wash off.
That's awfully expensive.
How expensive does it have? So what? So say I spend, you know, first of all, it'd be very interesting to see how many people take the $5. Or maybe it would be $3.
Yeah. You'd also be accused by pundits
lower
targeting.
If nobody's taken it.
Auction it. I thought about auctioning off my vote, see what it's really worth.
Turns out nothing.
Right.
The last time I voted specifically so the county, Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, could illegally discard my vote, which I thought would be just kind of funny, which they do to write-in votes. So, like, if you just want to write in Mickey Mouse or Ron Paul or whatever, the Montgomery County, the guy even told me, he goes, yeah, we're supposed to count them, but we don't. Nope. You know, sorry.
Well, that's
he's
lame.
Basically confirmed my vote is worth nothing.
I guess it doesn't matter. I retract that statement. It doesn't matter whether or not they count the write-in candidates.
No, it doesn't matter. What I wanted to do, and you know, I just thought this would be a fun setup if I went through with it. Sue them later, okay? For like, hey, you threw out my vote. You owe me $200. You know, go to court and make them say, no, your vote's not worth anything. You get nothing. Okay. Have them be the ones that make the argument that my vote was worthless. Right. Or pay me. Right. Which is it? They either pay me or admit that it's worthless. And either outcome would be interesting.
So what do you want? What do you want? What do you want the people you're paying not to vote to do? Like, why? What's in it for you? Why are you paying people not to vote?
Oh, I just want to get people really like all those like super voting enthusiast people. Just get them freaked. Like that's basically it. Okay. Get some news. Get people calling the sheriff to find out if it's legal. Just generally, just general trolling, right?
Okay, yeah,
having fun, making fun of the system. And I think
Would you make any effort to pick voting locations that would be fair or likely balanced or whatever? Or, like, I guess it doesn't really matter to you, but it might matter to critics.
So he's just trying to influence the such and such vote. So pick one that's like 50-50 Democrat, Republican. Eh, who cares?
Yeah.
I don't care enough to figure that out.
Too much research. I can't even Google that.
No, the short answer is I would do it to the one closest to my house, and that would be about it. But hey, this is a big story I wanted to talk to you about, Davi, and this Hitchbot. Have you followed the Hitchbot saga?
I've been following it a little bit. Mostly, I've been seeing memes on Facebook about it.
It's a fascinating story. It's still unwinding. It's still evolving. But the narrative goes, there's this, they call it a hitchhiking robot. And it's supposedly captured the hearts of fans around the world. But as it's hitchhiked around, it's been through Europe and Canada. Supposedly, it's spent a week with a heavy metal band. And it's basically just like a trash can with an iPhone in it. But somehow it's hitchhiking, but supposedly it met its demise in Philadelphia after all of these adventures. Like somebody just like beat the tar out of it in Philly.
It looks like it's made out of a pool noodle. Like it's got arms and legs that are these weird blue foam, and it's got like yellow gloves and boots on,
something like that. I'm wondering now. The funny thing is, it's created all kinds of opportunity for trolling. Like somebody released "quote unquote" security video of what looks like could be the robot getting stomped, or he's stomping on a homeless guy. We don't know.
Has the robot been implicated in a crime? Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
So, James, I've been researching this hitchhiking robot for like 45 seconds, and I've decided I've got to completely change my mind on this story. This is an undocumented Canadian immigrant who is hitchhiking across America, which is a crime, and so clearly he's a menace to society, even though he's an inanimate object. Normally, I come to the defense of inanimate objects, but this is an illegal inanimate object.
Well, you know, you're not the only one that has that view, and there's a really great article that said, Hitchbot was a literal pile of trash and got what it deserved. Okay,
that's how I feel about it. People don't hitchhike; robots hitchhike.
Well, and let me just quote from this article a little bit. First things first, it says Hitchbot, for all practical purposes, was a garbage can with an iPhone in it. It could not walk or stand or fire lasers or open a can of beans. By what standard was this piece of useless blank a robot in the first place? The answer, a shabby standard, a Canadian one. Okay. Horrible. Now, you know, I'm not going to generalize about the Canadians. But there's another funny line in this article.
I don't trust anything from behind the maple curtain.
If our guileless simpleton neighbors to the north wish to draw faces on their buckets and treat them like friends, the sparse population density of their pine fresh wilderness makes this a sad but understandable choice. But the United States is not a receptacle for twee Canadian garbage.
Yeah, it's littering. It's littering by proxy.
It's a grown-up land where humans know each other and do not ameliorate the loneliness of car trips by picking up roadside litter and befriending it. So, now my friend David Easley on Facebook, and when we were, he had the best comment, and we were mentioning its demise in Philadelphia, and he said, it was a robot. Robots are taking jobs away from ordinary, hardworking, unionized Americans. Once it arrived in Philadelphia,
there's a hitchhiker's union?
No, it was treated the same way as anyone or anything that tries to take jobs away from union members. Basically, they beat the tar out of it and left it for dead on the sidewalk. So, welcome to Philly, Hitchbot.
Where's the iPhone?
I guess it's like tracking its location or taking pictures or sending back data to the NSA. I don't know. Now, the level of intrigue, though, really goes on and on for this thing because, like, it turns out that this video of somebody stomping it was a fake done by some local pranksters, okay? And the pranksters were even trolling the media, like going on as like characters onto the media and talking about this robot. It's just, I'm wondering if the whole thing was basically a hoax. One of the guys got on the news under the name Always Testy. And like, he was quoted on... Why not? You know, the whole life, you know, this Canadian researchers, it really sounds suspicious. Like, what if this whole story is completely made up? Like, there was never any trash can with an iPhone in it. Nothing is just completely fabricated for the media to run with, which they have. Possible?
Yeah, the Hitchbot was CGI the whole time.
It's just somebody wrote a blog post. Right,
it's actually an elaborate. It's an elaborate marketing ploy for the new Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah! I hate the looks of that droid. I think this is right about the same level as that stupid ball droid. Come on, stupid ball droid! Get you know, Jesus.
Well, the one cool thing about the ball droid is that he's not CGI. He's actually like a physical effect. But you would think in the process of creating the physical effect, you would realize it was so inefficient, like no advanced society would ever design a robot that way.
It's actually a real soccer ball, and somebody just kicked it. And action!
No, it's like it's a complex system of magnets, I think. I don't know. I saw a diagram. I believe everything I see on the internet if it has a diagram. So,
you mean they actually made a ball droid that could maneuver like this? Why
yeah,
not?
Allegedly.
I love it. I love it. But could it hitchhike?
It's as likely as a hitchhiking robot. So there you go. Are they sending the pieces back to be buried in his homeland?
For a sanitary and comfortable relief experience?
Yes, exactly. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon, lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
It's true. I've heard this show before.
What were we talking about? Was it the robot?
Hitchbot.
Hitchbot.
You know. I think we've concluded that it was a piece of garbage, and it was trying to. It was taking our jobs and deserved to be beaten senseless for a variety of reasons.
He's taking the jobs of good, hardworking American hitchhikers. Or something.
You know, they say it's been a week with a heavy metal band. Like, where's the videos of that? I want to, like, prove that.
Which heavy metal band? It seems like there should be eyewitnesses. Was it on stage with them? Did it rock out? Like, what happened?
I don't know. You know, there's an equally outrageous story. Did you hear about the guy in Denver who was passing out pamphlets for jury nullification and got arrested? Did you hear about this?
No. What was the charge?
He's passing out pamphlets about the power of jurors to vote not guilty if they disagree with the law. Anyway, people do this all the time, have done it for years and years and years, but somebody got grumpy at this Denver courthouse and had this guy arrested for it, and he's facing like multiple felony jury tampering accusations for this. And they tried the same thing with Julian Heichland in Manhattan. And
yeah, before
they
we
totally
go too far,
failed.
Can I just say the charge of jury tampering has always struck me as bizarre, because tampering is something you do to like machines. Like
Right. Like it's like that's why they invented like tamper-proof bottle tops, right?
Yeah. Like it was Hitchbot on the jury? Was that the problem? Like
I don't know. But so anyway, this guy may go to trial for passing out flyers, which is completely legal. He's passing out truthful, accurate information to the general public, and evidently some jurors got it, and they got scared, or somebody complained. And anyway, so my goal is, if this guy goes to trial, I'm going to go pamphlet at his trial. Okay. So
you're gonna pamphlet at the pamphleting trial.
I'm gonna pamphlet at the trial for the guy that was pamphleting. If this ends up going to trial, I think that's
makes sense to me.
Yeah, and then hopefully people will pamphlet at my trial after that.
Yeah. Hey, I wonder.
I don't know, is
there
that
such thing as is there such thing as judge nullification? Like, can a judge like hear an objection and be like, "Yeah, technically that's an appropriate objection, but I'll like you, so overruled." Like, can they do that?
Of course they can. They can do anything they want to.
So maybe we should make or bailiff nullification. Can the judge be like, "Remove him from my courtroom," and the bailiff be like, "No, I like him. He's all right."
Make that man take his hat off. No, I'm not. I will not remove the hat of that man. No. New bailiff outreach takes place. Bailiff outreach. We're passing out information to the general public. In case you ever become a bailiff, you need to know your rights.
as a bailiff. They probably don't have any rights as a bailiff.
I'm pretty sure the judge can just look at everybody in the room and just send everybody to jail. He could just say, everybody goes to jail. Like that. I think that's the kind of power they have these days. They can just be like, contempt of court. You, you're cool. Not you. You, definitely you. You're all out. Go to jail. I just made it up. Wow. Go, you know. And the bail will be like, well,
contempt
he said
of court does kind of mean that.
Yeah.
Because you can charge anyone in the viewing section with contempt of court, can't you?
Oh, I think there's been Judge Belvin Perry in Florida. He just kind of looked out his window and said, "Oh, look, there's people down the street that I'm accusing of contempt of court. Go get them and put them in my dungeon." And he did.
So it could be anyone. It could be like, I'm a judge, and somebody blogged about this case, and I'm holding them in contempt of court, even though they're in another state.
It's possible. I wouldn't surprise me if they tried it and just sent the bailiff, like, okay, bailiff, go get him. Yeah. That's why our bailiff outreach program is going to be even more important later.
Yeah. This sounds like an Onion article. Like an ever-expanding contempt of court charge.
It's real. No, the court system is kind of like an Onion article. Only like millions of people get put in cages at the end. It's not that funny. It's definitely not funny. So of course we're going to make jokes about it.
Judge Burke holds the entire state of Louisiana in contempt of court in New Hampshire. Why not?
Hey, I just got the central scrutinizer, Michael Dean, has provided the answer to grumpy courthouse workers. Feed your bot. A robotic pamphleteer outside your courthouse. Like, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. That is why...
Obviously.
That is why he's in charge around here, because this is the kind of idea... I mean, and first of all, who's not going to take the flyer from the robot, right? Like, if a robot came up to you and tried to hand you a flyer, wouldn't you take it?
Now, is it like a legit robot, or is it like some guy covered in silver spray paint?
I'm thinking of some kind of, like, flying, like, quadcopter. Like, I don't know.
Fiji drone. There you go.
Yeah.
No, they would shoot down a quadcopter.
Oh, don't worry. Their aim is too terrible. Like, they'd never hit a target that small.
Yeah, there should be creative ways to pamphleteer.
Yeah, the Feejabot. I'm doing it. That's okay.
I mean, I Derek guess Slopey, like airdropping.
Derek Slopey, call the office.
Airdropping propaganda is like an old World War II tactic.
It's also a lot of littering. I'm not a big fan of littering, so.
Well, yeah, but it's the robot's fault.
Yeah, arrest the robot for littering. Go ahead.
Right.
Did you ever see the video of that somebody gets pulled over? And I don't know, it's probably fake, but it's still funny. It's supposedly dash cam footage from the cop car. He pulls up to this van, and you see out the window comes like helium balloons with a baggie, presumably of drugs, tied to the end,
and it floats
away with the evidence.
And then he's like shooting into the air.
Well, is releasing balloons litter? Is that litter? Helium balloons? So. But where is it litter? Is it litter in the jurisdiction where you release it, or is it litter in the jurisdiction where it lands?
Well, so here's the thing. The way you get out of that charge is you say, "Yes, officer, I released a balloon. We all saw me release a balloon, and we know that the balloon was carrying something. But what you don't know is that what it was carrying was a GPS device so that I can go and pick it up. It's not actually litter. It's a weather balloon." No, I can't tell you where it is because you don't have a warrant.
Sounds legit. Right. And I'm sure they would refrain from hitting you at that point.
You know, I really think like a major part of the problem with the like collapse of an open society is just that people don't do weird things. Like so much of like what police get away with when it comes to like things that are not like legally accurate, but they're going to just go ahead and do anyway, is because it was out of the ordinary, and anything out of the ordinary is assumed to be suspicious. Right.
Right.
which means like we should just be doing things that are out of the ordinary for their own sake, just to sort of like get people acclimated to the idea that sometimes people do weird things and that's okay.
Give me some examples.
Well, you know, like this, in this instance, it appears suspicious that a person would release a balloon with something attached. And so you think, well, it must be nefarious. I never see anyone doing that. He must be doing something suspicious. So what if we just, you know, what if it's just a regular thing? Like people just did it from time to time, release balloons up into the air for no reason. It's just part of part. This is just something that happens.
It's a celebratory thing. It happens at weddings a lot, at sporting events. Like this is not unheard of, right?
Right.
It's not without precedent. Yes, officer, I always release balloons when I'm being robbed. Why do you?
Well,
ask?
You know, a lot of like cold contact from police officers is just because something was weird, right? Not that something was dangerous, not that something was criminal, but like, hey, that guy is walking around with a pumpkin on his head. I'm gonna go make sure he's okay. It's like, why? Why can't a guy walk around with a pumpkin on his head if he wants to? Like,
no, I don't know. But you know, back to the balloon idea. Imagine, like, certain cops would go to a lot of trouble to track down the balloon. They'd probably get the police helicopter involved. They'd do like a multi-state manhunt and try to get the evidence that you just released.
Yeah.
And if you had like four or five balloons, hopefully the wind would blow them in different directions.
They get out their drug sniffing Falcon.
he signaled us. Yeah, he alerted. The Falcon alerted.
That balloon is definitely narcotic of some kind.
Sounds legit.
Yeah. And hold up in court.
Oh man. Did you see that there was an article about there's this guy in, I think he's in Oregon, okay, or I'm not sure where he is. This guy works all over the country training. He's a professional, like, expert witness to justify police shootings. And he does training in police departments to help people explain away why they had to shoot people for no reason. And his name is Dr. Lewinsky. And this is what he teaches them. Okay,
so he's got a credibility gap from the get-go, I guess.
This is what he teaches. This is philosophy. A batter can't wait for a ball to cross home plate before deciding whether that's something to swing at, he told the Los Angeles deputy sheriffs. Makes sense? Officers have to make a prediction based on cues. Okay. So basically what he's telling him is to shoot, you know, hey, you can't wait to see a gun. You just have to open fire, okay? Because once you see the gun, it's too late. So, sure.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
This is the Freedom Fiends.
Welcome back. Our final segment.
I think we need a police pranking robot.
Ooh.
I don't know what it would do. Might not really need to do anything. It should be maybe as inanimate. You know, like if you can find a way to make being inanimate a crime, that's pretty powerful. I mean, that's like why a sit-in works as a demonstration, you know? Like, because you don't even have to move. Robots are pretty good at not moving. So... Maybe
Well, what if it was, you know, and cops are really easy to provoke, right? So this shouldn't be too hard to come up with something. And they really don't like being filmed. So maybe, what if you just had like these little miniature quadcopters, like little tiny ones with little cameras that just follow a cop around all day, like just kind of swarming him with its own like video feed. Like every cop would then have a personal video feed 24/7, like follows him home. Just there's always little cameras chasing him everywhere.
Okay. I kind of like where this is going.
We got it. We can do better than that. How about something that like comes up behind him and just smacks him in the head? Right. I think it's not creative, but I think it's getting closer to where we want to be.
Well, yeah. Like, how much could you get away with if it's automated? Because I mean, you just have to figure out a way to not get caught as the operator, right?
Well, what happened with that software that was buying stuff on the dark web and sending it to an art gallery? It's kind of the same thing, right? The robot is committing the crime. Who do you prosecute?
I don't know.
Let's give it the ability. Let's not program it, you know, to go smack a cop in the head, but program it to think for itself, and it'll naturally want to smack a cop in the back of the head. Maybe that's the way to do it.
There you go.
That's the future. The future of AI.
You know, there are those like high-tech fake babies that they give teenagers to like see what being a teen mother or teen father is like, and they contain like actual little gyrometers and things that show whether or not the baby's been shaken or beaten or whatever. So like, what if you like assigned a like civilian robot to like each officer to see if he can like be around people without beating them up for like
without shooting it, without tasing it, right? It'll record how many times it gets shot or tased, and you know, and you could do experiments. You could have black ones, you could have Caucasian ones, you could have Hispanic ones,
and it could just be on a loop. It could just have a pre-recorded loop where it says, "Am I free to go? Am I being detained? Am I free to go? Am I being detained?"
Yeah. And I think there's some potential there. We need to explore this because, you know, let's face it, interacting with these people is way too dangerous for you know, to recommend that people we'd like
for
do it,
biological
right?
life.
Yeah, for any kind of biological, any like reasonably sentient life form should just go the other way when they see one of these guys. So we need some kind of safe robot that can go into these hazardous environments.
We need to start an NGO, a non-governmental organization called BETA, which is Bureaucrats for the Ethical Treatment of Americans.
That doesn't make any sense. What? Sounds like it could be a wing of the GOP. I don't know. You know, I don't know.
It wouldn't have very many members. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's, you know, it's kind of like that. Like, look, we love a big government, you know, but we want it to be a little kinder to the pets, right?
Yep.
It's like, yeah, why not?
I just want some straw in my cell. Is that too much to ask for?
Yeah. Let's not get crazy, you know.
Words. Well, it's been a good show, James. I think we made a lot of great headway. But we're depending on the audience to, you know, actually take the risks that we've described.
Or build robots to take the risks. Even better.
Or build robots. There you go. Activists.
Because we need our audience members.
Yeah. It's a civ dis bot. That's what we need.
A reprogrammable. And you could have like an app to program it for what you want.